The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chulin. Masechet Chulin has been dedicated by our good friend Mr. Joey Jamal and his wife in honor of their son's Jack engagement to Shirley Sutton. Bazat Hashem, you should get married b'sha'a tova u'muslachat. And zechut of the limud that we are going to have for the next several months in Masechet Chulin, they should enjoy a lot of nachat, shalom bayit, peace, prosperity, and all the berachot. Amen. Daf Mem Tet. Today's daf is being studied with Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Rabbi Moshe ben Luna, Ruach Hashem, Tenichem ben Eden. Amen. This daf is being studied with Atzlachat Yaakov ben Yosef. We begin today's daf on Mem Het Amud Bet, 8 lines from the bottom, starting with the words Ahu Wahi Mahata Teshtekah Besimfona Rabba Dre'a. So they found a mahat, a needle, in the Simfon Rabba, Simfona Gadol. Remember the Simfona Gadol? If you go back to your Temune Chol books, you will see on page 66 a picture of the lung. This is the kaneh, which goes down into the lungs. There's the right and the left. So on the right side, that's the Simfona Gadol, because you see the trachea branches off primarily onto this side, and then from there it branches off into small bronchial tubes. So the side, one side is called Simfona Gadol. So you found a needle in this section over here. So the question is, what is the deen? That you want to commit a banan tarofa'e. So they brought the lung in front of the rabbis. If you remember, we learned on the early adopt that there were rabbis that held when you find a needle in the lung, it's a terefa. Because the way it got into the lung, it had to puncture some organs as it got in. So they brought it to those rabbis that said it was terefa. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Akish, Rabbi Bar Patish, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim. Lo amru ba lo isur velo heter. They didn't want to give a ruling on it. They didn't say asur, they didn't say mutar. Heter lo amri ba kishma'atayu. They didn't say heter because they were basing it on their opinion. Because they say that what? That maybe it went through the veshit, which means the normal way the animal ate. The needle went down the veshit, came out of the veshit, punctured the me'ayim, the intestines, went through the stomach, and then came out and punctured the lungs. So that's their opinion. So they couldn't say mutar because their opinion was asur. Isur name lo amriba. But they also didn't want to say asur. Kevan besimfona rabba ishtekah. Because since they found it in the Simfon Gadol, ema simfona nakat ve'atai. Which means it's possible that it did go down through the windpipe, the kaneh, because otherwise it had to get into the area of the Simfon. So it must have gotten there through the kaneh. So therefore, because if it would have went through the veshet, it's hard to reach the Simfona Gadol area. The Simfona Gadol is the kaneh. It's just the kaneh going down into the lung. So if it was found in the Simfona Gadol, probably it went through the kaneh. So therefore, they were misupakim. To say mutar, they couldn't. But to say asud also, they couldn't. Next story. Look at the Rashi. So, Kevan de besimfona rabba ishtekach. It's like 6 lines on the bottom, 5 lines on the bottom. Kevan.
Kevan de simfona rabba ishtekach. Mi mechavna lo oto simfon. In derech veshet nechnisa
hilkach. Right, if it went down the veshet, it's hard for it to get to the simfona gadol. Hilkach.
Hilkach devarim nikarim al korchenu besimfona nakat. Adercha kane o bali simfona rea.
Right, so must have came down the kane, and if it goes down the kane, it doesn't puncture anything. It just goes straight down into the lung without breaking it. So the rabbis, they did not give a ruling on that. Next case. Haim machta deshtekach bahaticha dechavda. They found a needle puncturing inside the liver. Savar mor bered Rav Yosef the mitrefe. So mor bar Rav Yosef wanted to say it's terefa. Amar le Rav Asher, ilu ishtekach bebisra ki agavna have tarich mor. Let's say you just found a needle in the basar, in the flesh, the meat of the animal. Would the rabbi say it's asur? which means we know that by the liver, a puncture in the liver is not osedet. Either the liver has to be missing, or kazai left of it, or kamashu. Oh, that's going to be his answer. But the Gemara says, wait, what's the difference? You have a needle in the liver, so it's like a needle in the piece of meat. What's not the rifa? So he goes, Ela Amar of Asher Hazina. What he meant to say is like this. You have to look at the direction that the needle is in the liver. I kofa lebar, which means the kofa is the dull part of the needle. I guess the needle has the part with the hole in it, right? And then you have the sharp part. So im kofa lebar, which means the dull part of the needle is outside, meaning it's the needle that punctured into the liver. Nakube naki ve'atay. So for sure, it must have punctured something on the way there. It punctured the me'ayim, it punctured the intestines, which means how's it going to get from the animal all the way down to the liver? Because bottom line, if the dull part is out, that means it went puncturing on the way down to the liver itself. Which means the dull part doesn't puncture anything. It's the sharp part that does. It went through the veshet, that's the food pipe. It went down through the stomachs of the animal, till the me'ayim, till the intestines. It must have punctured through the intestines and then got lodged into the kaved. So it's terefa. Not goes to the liver. Exactly. On the way down to the liver, it had to break something else on the way down. Now, ikofa legav, however, if it's the opposite, if let's say it went in where the dull part is in, and the sharp part is sticking out, so again, kofa is the dull part, kofa legav, the dull part is in, and therefore it's sticking out, the sharp part out, simpona nakat ve'atai. So then, we're going to say it went through the kaneh. When it went into the kaneh, it ended up in the symphonot, that's the lungs area, the symphonot area, and then it broke out of the lungs, it came out of the lungs, and it made its way to the kaved, and now it went out of the kaved, starting to go out of the kaved, to go into the stomach area, which means it did not puncture the stomach yet. If you see it the other way, where the needle is facing up, so the direction must have been kaneh, it must have went into kaneh and then into the lungs, which is the symphonot, and then nekebat the symphon, it broke through the symphon and got to the liver and did not break anything on the way. Why is that so? But look at Rashi. Rashi says ikofa legav, that's the one we need to read.
Im rosha ha'av shehi nekuva bo nachba betoch ha'kaved v'chodah shekorim punta.
Punta, I mean the point. Yotze letoch
halal ha'behema v'adai simfona naka. V'achar kach, v'acharechen
v'achar kach nikav
chodah et ha'simfon v'yatza lekaved.
Okay, so that we saw. So let's try to understand exactly, because there's a big question exactly. They're all asking on this over here, how did it get out of the lungs? It had to puncture it. So therefore, you tell me, oh, it went into the kaneh, and the kaneh came into the lungs, and it came out of the lungs, and it got lodged into the kaved. So what? How did it get out of the lung? It must have made a hole out of the lungs.
And then you're out.
So therefore, what's the difference that you're redirecting it through the lungs? So he says, look at the book Timunei Chol, which is the book that we actually have over here, on page 168, for an interpretation. So let's see if we have the book here. 168. Okay, 168. Oh, story over here. Okay, we're trying to understand why if it goes this way or that way. Let's see here. Let's see how this goes over here. Okay. The Gemara explains that there is no inherent problem with a needle found in the liver, for a puncture in the liver does not render the animal a terefa. Rather, the issue is how the needle reached the liver from the outside of the animal. Gemara suggests two possibilities. The most likely explanation is that the needle was swallowed by the animal, which is normal, and somehow along its journey in the digestive canal, it pierced through and entered the abdominal cavity and eventually entered the liver. In this scenario, the animal is a terefa. For a puncture in the digestive canal, it's almost always a terefa. There was, however, a second more remote possibility. It is possible that the needle was swallowed into the canal trachea rather than the vesicle esophagus and proceeded through the lungs into the circulatory system, entering the liver through the large blood vessel, through its large blood vessel, the vena cava. In this model, no air passageways or blood vessels need to be punctured for the needle to enter the liver. We'll see why. And we are not compelled to declare the animal a terefa. The question that remains is how to determine the path taken by the needle to reach its present location in the liver. Rav Asher explains that if the blunt end of the needle points in the direction of the abdominal cavity, while the sharp point end faces the blood vessels of the liver, the animal is terefa, for its position allows for the possibility that the needle came from the abdominal cavity via the digestive tract, making its way into the liver with a sharp end. However, the blunt of the end of the needle points to the liver's blood vessels and the point end faces the abdominal cavity, the animal is kosher, for the needle's position indicates it entered the liver via its blood vessels. It came the other way. It came the other direction. So now the point is facing, it means it went through the liver, and now the point is out. The issue that obviously must be addressed is how can the needle proceed directly through the trachea and circulatory system into the liver without piercing any air or blood vessels? Okay. So that she explained what we just read, that it traveled through the caneh into the symphona gadol. That's the vena cava, is the symphona gadol. Okay, as extending to the liver from the trachea, as explained there. However, the vena cava does not open directly into the trachea, as the apparatus system. Okay, now. So he says like this. The ingested needle travels through the trachea into the bronchial tubes of the lungs. There it pierces the thin walls of the smaller bronchial tubes and enters into the nearby branches of the pulmonary artery. The blood vessels that run between the lungs and the right vertical of the heart. Via this conduit, the needle enters the heart. Which means somehow it went into the bronchial tubes and made its way to the heart. Didn't break anything. He's introducing that it went into the heart somehow, into the valves.
It's the path.
It's the path. Now, it continues its journey, exiting the heart through the right auricle into the vena cava. This large vein runs directly to the liver, and the needle proceeds therein, piercing the liver with a sharp end, and finally coming to rest embedded in the liver. In this course, the journey of the needle made two punctures, one in the bronchi and one in the branch of the pulmonary artery. These punctures do not render the animal terefa because they occurred inside the lung, where the soft lung material effectively sealed the hole. Okay, so you figured out a way. That's basically. Okay, basically you figured out a way where it goes through arteries, and even though it breaks some things, those post parts don't mean anything anyway, because we learned that the flesh of the lung anyway is against it. Okay, so he gave you it is true that this is a rather unusual path for the needle to take. First, ingested material usually proceeds through the esophagus, not the trachea. Second, the journey itself is arduous, for the needle propelled solely by gravity and the movement of the animal must travel against the flow of blood, according to this system. Okay, which is also a hadush as well. So again, I'd like to track that over here. We have a picture of the animal over here. No, Keva is coming up. Symphonot is over here. So it went down here and it came into the symphonot somehow. But let's see a better picture of the animal. It's Betakosot. But it continues. Now, all this that we're saying over here, what the direction the needle is pointing in the liver, is talking about a thick needle, mahadava, that cannot puncture from the dull side. Abal katinta, But if it's a thin needle that both sides are really sharp, doesn't matter which direction, because no matter what, it's going to puncture something from both ends of the needle. In all instances, you have to hoshesh that the needle definitely or probably punctured the me'ayim, intestines on the way down, because both sides are sharp, and therefore it's either way. So the Gemara says, "Umay shena mimachat shenimset beovei beta kosot." Remember the beta kosot? The kosot is the stomach that looks like the cups. That's a picture over there we have. Beta kosot is this here. That's the stomach over there. The food goes through the beta kosot and like sifts it out and does some sort of digestion in that area over there. So the Gemara says, what is the difference between a needle that's found in Ovi Beta Kosot? So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? Mitzad Echad Keshera Mishnet Tadin Terefa Velo Amrina Nechze Ikofa Lebar Ikofa Legav. When it comes to Beta Kosot, if you find a needle, so it says Mitzad Echad, I mean, it just went through one side of the of these folds, one layer. Two layers. So then it's okay. It's kishira. Now, but even though one of the folds went through, but since it didn't go through the second one, so it's kishira. However, mishnes tadim, if it went through the whole fold, so then it's a terefa. Now over there, it doesn't make a difference which direction. So he says over here, the inside of the beta kosot, on the lower right, the cup-like inner membrane has been removed to show the outer membrane. You see that over here? The outer membrane. And this is the inner membrane. Okay, so this is the referring to, not the cup itself. But if it just went on the inner membranes, so it's no problem. But if the needle came from here, the outer membrane of the beta kosot, that means it went through and broke the outer membrane and into the inner membranes, then it's a problem. There the Gemara doesn't make a difference which direction. If the needle is facing in, if the needle is facing out, it's always no good. Why, when it came to the liver, you make a difference between which way the needle is facing, and then you decide if it punctured anything. Why is beta kosot different? So the Gemara answers, Amre, Atam, Kibandika, Ochinu, Mashkim. Since the beta kosot, there's food particles and there's drink, Ema, Ochalinu, Mashkim, the Hakuha. Exactly. The food pushes the needle in different directions. So you have an outside item that doesn't matter what direction it's facing. The food can push it. Mashenkin, in the case of the liver is just a piece of meat. So therefore you follow the direction. Mashenkin, when the ochlim is pushing it, it'll be a different. Look at the let's read this Rashi over here. Let's start Ovi Beta Kosot.
Ovi Beta Kosot Besova Keres Shekurin
Pansa.
Pansa Yesh Bok Shahui Kikova.
Kova, that's the like hats.
The Usfa Dofano
Kefula, Shte Dofano Dadukim.
Zo bezo,
that's the end. You see, like it's a wall over here.
Veshuma mechabran vekorin lo
Dublin. Okay, Dublin. Mitzad echad
shenagva et doven hapinimit lo nagva et hasheni.
Keshera
shechavretah magina aleha.
Okay.
Veshne tzedadin shenagva hasheni v'yetzah lechalal guf terefa v'lo amirun
hecha. I guess it came out. It went through the beta kosot and it went out through the outer membrane as well. So that's right. Then once it goes out of the outer membrane, it's a problem. So what to do on the lower right, the cup-like inner membrane has been removed to show the outer membrane. So to show the outer membrane, I guess it's over here, somewhere over here like this. Okay, continue.
Terefa.
Terefa.
Vlamina. Vlamina. Necha delo nagva ela eta echad I kupa lebat shemizad kufa shela.
בדופן
הופיע כולה בתוך הקרס ודאי מבחוץ נכנסה שנגבה את הוושת או קרס או דקין
ובאת על הלגור שם חזרה
שם חזרה מנכסה לאובי בית הכוזות
ועברה
כבר כולה את הדופן החיצון
which means basically that she's telling you why do you say the same logic look at the direction of the needle and based on the direction of the needle you know the path that it took and therefore if it took the path of a veshed then you know it punctured things on the way down into the bit of kosot
even if it only went one side
correct, so even if it went one side it should still be a terifah because bottom line you see the direction I was able to get in there
לא הספיקה הקופה שלה לעבור את דופן הפנימי ואם היא מפנים
באתה
עכשיו היא מתחילה לצאת דרך אובי
אין דרך
זאת אין דרך הקופה לנקב הנה מה הטריפה אלא המלטני כשירה שמין המינה כל אחד הם עזינו לממר סימפונה הנקד ועל כגון
יש לומר
דרך הוושת בת עד הלום ועכשיו אם מתחילה לנקב אפילו קופה לבעל אותה
right which means the question really is that on the one side when it damaged it one side we said kishira and we didn't make a difference between what direction the needle was facing that means whenever we see a one-sided cut you always assume the best that it got in somehow through the trachea and they didn't puncture and now why when it came to the liver we said no if it's punctured going in So he said, oh, must have broken things on the way. You should have made you should have said the kasher. Why over there you go to the negative side? And by the symphonot, you don't make a hiluk. It's kasher if it broke to one side. So what I answer is, Ochil mashkim dahkua, metoka dahak, neknesa kupas shela bebasar. Kapagam du kupas lebar, ho'il, belohazina nekev yotzina hos kasher. Which means it's a kula, that since the food pushes it in, So therefore, even though the dull part is facing out, where normally by the liver we said the dull is facing out, it must have went through and broke things, but here, no, so there's external factors like the food that was pushing it, and therefore, that's what caused it to get there like that, and not that it damaged anything on the way. So basically, the Gemara is answering in other parts of the body where there's external factors, So therefore we could say it's kashir. But she ain't getting the liver when you see it faced in the direction that the dull part is facing out. So then already you have to assume that it got in a way that it punctured other vital organs. Safeg de oraita. That's a question that can be asked. Why don't we say safeg de oraita le humrah? Because this is a sefek de oraita. Unless somehow they make a sefek sefekah, like we said in the other case of the re'ah.
What about if the food pushing it went through the food pipe? So they're not answering if it went
through. Not the food through the food pipe, the food over here.
In there.
The food that's in the
beta kosot.
So it could have, the reason why it's facing the other way, so you say, it had to go to and punch or something. So no, the food in there caused it to turn around, and therefore went in that way. But not that it had to break any... Things on the way down.
Continues.
Ahu machta yeshtakach b'simfona rabba dechabda. So you found another needle in the simfona rabba dechabda in the vessels of the liver, the big blood vessels of the liver. Well, do we have a picture of that? That's simfona gadol. Here is the stomach, which we're going to get to. This is the keres, which we're going to see as well. Okay, the blood vessels in the liver. Here's the liver. So, kanareh, you have it somewhere in the liver over here, in the big vessels. How does he call the big vessels? Shekavra lekaneh hakabed. Uh-huh. That's the... he's learning it. It's the vessel that attaches the... Liver to the heart. The vena cava. Where's that picture? We saw that picture on page... Yeah, here you'll have it also. Vena cava. Symphona Gadol. On page 58. You see there's like a passageway from the heart to the liver. They call it Symphona Gadol Shel HaKaved. That's what she's calling it. Also vena cava. So you found a needle in that passageway over there. Okay, so what do we want to do now? Want to say it's good or not? Una morbere de Rav Idi Tarif. One rabbi said Tarif, because he said for sure it came to the Veshet, and into the vision it went through the body, and through the vision it goes through the stomachs, and it must have pierced the hole through the stomachs, and then puts a terefa, and then it got to the Sinfona Gadol, and by the time it got there, it ruined things on the way. He says, what do you mean? If you found it in the Sinfona of the Kabed, it's hard, it's far-fetched to say that it came there from the outside. Must be that it got swallowed directly into the Kaneh, and from the Kaneh, it went down the pipes, and then it went into the Sinfona of the Kabed without doing anything wrong. Okay, so again, these are all sifikot on how it got there. Did it go through the, get the rules. If it goes through the Veshet, it's a problem. Because the Veshet is taking it through the digestive tract, and it's going to ruin things on the way. If it goes through the Kaneh, it just goes through pipes and gets there without breaking any inside of the animal. So it says, Atu Sheilua L'Rabina. So they asked Rabina the question. Amar Lehu, Shekilu Gilima de Trofae. Take the shirts off the rabbis that said it was Taref. Which means the rabbis that told the guy it was Taref, they got to go pay the guy now. Because the guy took his animal and he threw it out. So take their shirts now, tell them to go sell their shirts in order to recompensate the guy for the halakha that they said. Ha'u Kishita Dishtekah Bimara. Okay, new story. They found a date pit that was in the mara. The mara is the gallbladder. Okay, let's just see if they're gonna. Okay, it's over here. It's starting on page 67 and 68. We're gonna see now about the pits. Now, what happened? Amar Bashiki Abina Be Rav Kahana. When we were in Rav Kahana's house, he told us the midrash. Amar Havadai Simpona Nakat Ve'atai. Says for sure, how did it get into the gallbladder? It went down the Sinfonot, it went down the Kaneh, and from the Kaneh it went into the tubes, and went into the tube of the Kaved that's attached to the heart, and from the Kaved, because the Kaved is connected to the Mara, and it went into the Mara, which means you cannot say that it went through the Veshet and then it broke through the stomachs over there, and then it broke through the Kisa Mara, because it's not sharp. The pit does not, it's round. So therefore, the only way it gets there, probably it went down the wrong pipe, and it just followed the tubes, and it went through the tube of the Kaved that's connected to the heart, and from there it went into the Kaved, and it came into the, from there into the, what do you call it, into the Mara. Afalgav de lo kan nafka. Now, even though it's a very big, large pit that really cannot fit through, if you want to reverse the direction, now you cannot get it back out. So therefore, that would tell us that maybe it came in a different way, because it can't fit through the pipe now. You're right, but it got in somehow. You tell me, it went through the pipe, but now that it's there, it cannot fit. Mirbal hu derabile. Which means you could say that the movement of the animal causes it to push through the pipe. Even though, over time, as the animal's walking and stuff like that, it ends up lodging there, and somehow the movement of the animal causes it to end up there. This is only talking about a date pit, which is not sharp, which is round, as you know. Aval dezeta, but an olive pit, mibza baza, it is sharp, and therefore you have to suspect that maybe it punctured things on the way down, and therefore it's going to be tarif. Same size, but it's just sharp, so therefore you're worried that it's going to. You see, and he asks the question, why don't you just look at the mara, see if it has a hole in it? So he answers, he says, because it got covered up. So you have to say, in all these cases, something happened that you cannot discern the hole. There's a klum over it, there's a membrane, and it healed. So we don't know if it was there from the beginning, if it happened afterwards. That's the issue over here. Okay, look at. Are we really better than Nashi? Look at Mirbal Hud de Rabil. The animal moves for many days. Slowly it gets in. Right now it can't get out. Gemara Shemenalhinota. Mirbi literally is a sieve, as she says. The sieve, you go like this. You shake it to get the stuff out. So Mirbi means the animal shakes like a sieve when it walks, and therefore it gets it in. Okay. Mibza Bazar. Kemahat umad tarif, Vemahat tarif namim. Which means, just like the rabbi that said the mahat is no good, because the mahat that's sharp is going to cause a puncture. So it's over here. What do you call it? A sharp alipin is like a needle. Therefore, on the way down, it's going to break through different places over there, and it's going to be a problem. Okay. So he says, "Kavanat Rashi Shema Shelav Hashem Mahalik Beginin Temaral Beginin Shulzayt Uladat Rabbanat Rofei." Tarush Shakish Shetom Betrafim BeMachat Shematzenim Sab BeRe'ah, which is when we found a machat in the re'ah. If you remember, we had two different opinions. The rabbi said terefa, because how to get to the re'ah? It must have went down the veshet, and it came down the veshet, and it broke things on the way down until it got to the re'ah. So the same rabbis that say when you find a machat in the re'ah, you have to suspect the worst. So too, when you find an alipit in the mara, you have to suspect the worst, that it went down the veshet and punctured things on the way down until it ended up into that spot over there. Okay. But again, according to the other rabbis that say, no, why do you suspect the worst? Could be it went down the kaneh, and that's how it ended up in the lungs, so it's ending over here. Could be it went down the kaneh, even though it's sharp, so what's sharp? If it's going down the kaneh, it's not going to break anything on the way down, and somehow it went into the symphon, and it ended up into the mara. So it's depending on the rabbis that said taref by the lungs, they'll say it's taref by the sharp aleph bit. Now the Gemara goes on to another point. Amar Yohanan, Lama Nikra Shemar Re'a. Okay, why do they call the lungs Re'a? Shemeirai Ta'inayim. It's good for the eyes. If you eat lungs, lungs are good for the eyes. So they're called Re'a. Nashon Re'e, to look, to see. Ibailum, Lachila or Aliyedes Sammanim. Is it the re'ah itself alone, the lung that's good for the eyes, or is it only when you mix it up with some medicine and you stick stuff in it with the re'ah, and that's what makes the re'ah good for vision? Tashema, Tamar Vuna Bar Yehuda, Avaza Bezuza, V're'ah Dida Be'arba'a. When they sell a avaz, a goose, so it's sold for a zuz, but they sell the lungs of the goose for four zoos. See what it says, V'isan kabdak la'achila. And if you're just telling me that the sugula is just to eat it, linkat bezuzah v'lichud. Why don't you just buy the goose for one zoos and eat the lungs? The fact that they're selling the lungs for four zoos must be it's not just the lungs. Ela what? Al yedis sammanim. It comes with the medicine in it. Comes with the spices in it that make it medicinal. Huh? Otherwise, again, you can buy the whole goose for one zoos. So if it's just the lungs alone, buy the goose, eat the lungs, and the eyesight comes back. If the fact that they're selling the lungs for four must be it's with the additives, it's with the medicine stuff in it, and that's what's causing the vision to come back. Okay? In kebar re'ah, hechad de mashmesha yadid de tabeha. There's a hole in the re'ah, but in the area where the shochet's hand can reach. I mean, the shochet sticks his hand up the animal to feel the body parts, right? So there's a hole. So the question is going to be, do you say he made the hole because his hand can reach there and therefore it's not a terefa, or do you say no, that even though his hand can reach there, once there's a hole you have to say it's no good? So Gemara says, question, talinan or no talinan? Do you tole, meaning do you make it pending on his hand and therefore you say it's probably his hand that did it, or do you say no, no talinan? Rav Adab Bar Natan Amar Talinan. You say it probably came from his hands that were touching it. Borzutra Bered Rav Mori Amar La Talinan. So it's about looking. Can you blame it on the Shuhet or not? Vilcheta Talinan. Therefore you say that must be it was his hand that did it because they can reach that spot. Amar Rav Shmuel Bered Rabbi Abu. Shmuel said, Abba Mereshe Kaled Rafra Mara. He said, my father was the head interpreter of Raflam. They used to have a certain midrash, they called it Yarchei Kala, that 2 months a year, all the people would get together, in Elul and in Adar, and they would give derashot, they would teach people halachot, and they would have the interpreters get up and explain what the rabbis were meaning. The rabbis would speak in Lashon HaKodesh, and then the interpreter would get up and speak in Aramaic to explain it to the people. So Shmuel says, my father was the interpreter of Rafram at the Kala Midrash. And what? Ve'amar, and in the derasha he said, Talina. Meaning you're able to rely that it was the Shomet's hand that did it. Amarua kameleha temur zutra. Now you have to change the gesa over here. Amarua leha kamel demor zutra bered rab mori. They told Shmuel, Amru et devarav shenav Shmuel eftem mor zutra beno shenav mori. Now you saw above we had the opinion of mor zutra bered rab mori. He said, lo talinan. So they went to mor zutra and listen, Shmuel said that his father was the interpreter of Rafram in the Kala, and he said, it's okay. Meanwhile, Muzutrael, it's not okay. So they told him, what happened? The rabbi, you said no good, but the rabbi said he announced it in the Kala, that it's okay. Velo kibla. He didn't accept it. It's okay, let him say it. Not okay. I still say, it's a problem. Lo talina. Amar Mesharshiya, kivate de'abu de'abba mistabra. Rabbi Sharshiya says, it's mistaber like my grandfather says. Who was his grandfather? Rav Meshavshia was the grandson of Rav Ahaban Natan. Rav Ahaban Natan was the rabbi that said, Talina. So Rav Meshavshia said, it's okay, you could say it was the butchers did it. So he says, you could rely on my grandfather. Why? They had Talina Bizev. Because we know the halakha says, you could also blame it on the fox. What's the case of the fox? Or the wolf? What's the wolf case? The wolf takes a piece of the animal in his teeth, grabs it. So you see a hole now, because obviously now you want to know, was the hole there from before, and if it was a terefa, or do you, and the hole that he bit is the same hole that was there, therefore it was a terefa, or do you say no? Could be the body part was complete, and when the animal bit it now, he made it a terefa now. Ot pam, you had the animal, a wolf came, grabbed the body part. Obviously he bit it, that's not an argument, he bit it. The question is, maybe his bite marks were on the hole that was there already, and therefore it's a terefa. Or do you say no? Could be the body part was complete, and now he made the hole. And the halakha says, we're lenient. That when you see the ze'ev, but you say he did it now. So just like you're lenient on the ze'ev, so therefore you can say the same thing. When the shochet sticks his hand up and feels the lungs, you can assume that the lung was good. And he made it the whole when he was playing around with it. So that's what he says. He says, my grandfather, the rabbi that was lenient, it makes sense to say like him, because just like we're lenient by the wolf. Murna. What's a murna? Parasite. It's in the lung. Perigi bar of Yosef bar Dosav Rabbanan Hadamar Kodim Shechita Parish. You have to hoshesh that what? That maybe the lung came out, maybe the lung came out before shechita, and punctured the lung. The worm. The hadamar le'ash shechita parish. No, maybe it didn't come out until after the shechita. That's when it punctured. Vilcheta le'ash shechita parish. And therefore you assume that it's okay, that the hole came after the shechita. Yeah, goes through. The parasite goes through the basar. Okay, Rabbi Shimon omer ad shetenakev. Now we go back to the Mishnah. We go to the Mishnah. You found a needle in the lungs. So we said, a hole in the lungs. So we said, it's got to go through the Beit HaSimfonot. What did Shimon? It's got to puncture the main area of the lung where the Simfonot, the bronchial tubes come. Then the hole is considered a hole. The nekev has to be through the lung itself, through the right side of it, where it has the Beit HaSimfonot, that's what makes a hole in the lung terefa. Amar Abba Pratahrifa, Amar Abba Abba, Ad Shetenakev Duf Simfon Gadol, which means it means Simfon Gadol, that area where the Simfonot are Gidolim. Yativ Rav Aha Bar Abba Kamet Rav Una, V'yativ V'kamar, Amar Rav Maluch, Amar Rabbi Yoshua Ben Nevi, Halacha, Kerebi Shimon, Amar Le, Maluch Arba'a Kamat, which Rabbi Maluch? Maluch from Arabia? What do you mean? He can't be him. Ain't halakha going to be Shimon Kamar. The Maluch from Arabia, he said, halakha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Kisalik Rabbi Zera Ashkehal Rabbi Bai Diyati Bekamar. Rabbi Bai was teaching. Amar Rabbi Maluch. Amar Rabbi Yosef Ben-Nevi Alakag Rabbi Shimon. Same story. Amar Le Haye Demor. I swear on the life of the rabbi, the Ana, the Rabbi Hayab Rabba, the Rabbi Aseh, all of us, Ikla'in Atred Rabbi Maluch. We were in the place of Rabbi Maluch in Arabia. The Amri Le I Amar Mor Lakak Rabbi Shimon. And we asked him, Rabbi, did you say Lakak Rabbi Shimon? The Amar Lanera Lakak Rabbi Shimon Amar Amre. I said, Lakak, not like Rabbi Shimon. So there was a whole discussion, what did Rabbi Maluch say? Yeah, like Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Shimon. Be'ar. Ma biyadach. So he says, and what's your tradition? Which means, who was talking? They got to Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera, they asked Rabbi Zera, what's your tradition on this case over the lungs? Amar le, hachi amar bi Yitzchak bar Ame, amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, alach, hai, ka Rabbi Shimon. We go like Rabbi Shimon, that the lung is not a terefa until the hole goes through the Beta Simfonot. Okay. Then halakha can be Shimon. But the Gemara concludes with all that, halakha does not follow the Bishimon, the Anyan Ze. Look at Rashi. Then halakha can be Shimon. The Gemara kapasik. This is the Gemara giving the rule. To be Yeshiva, Haronan, Nefsiku, Alakot Alalu. And to Sukot Stam Gemara. You have to say that the rabbis must have had a meeting at the end of all this, and they ruled from the Dirat Gemara. That alakaz not like Rabbi. Therefore, quote alakaz not like Rabbi Shimon. What is that going to mean? It doesn't matter where the hole is. That the hole in the it doesn't matter which side it is. Whether it's on the Beta Simfonot side or the other side, as long as it goes through the lung, it's going to be a terefa. Nikeva keva. Okay, boys. Keva. Where's keva? Open up pictures. Page 67. The following Gemara focuses on the fats that cover the intestines and stomach and discusses which are permitted for consumption and which are prohibited. In order to properly orient the reader with the layer of the organs, associated fats, a series of photographs, each depicting the organ at a different level of dissection. Okay, let's start over here. This is the keva. Okay, keva is like abdomen, the stomach, on the bottom of the animal there. Okay, then you have dakin, it's intestines, that's what it looks like. Yeah, exactly, it's like wiry tubes, small intestines. Then you have the chelev kaseta kerev, this is fat. That's a chelev over here that covers these pieces over here. And then you have chelev sha'al hakerev. Then there's another fat. All this is fat over here.
All the yellow.
All the yellow is the fat. Okay. Just want to see some more pictures for a second, just to get a little better view over here. You see this? This is chelev kaseta kerev. This is a famous thing. You see this chelev over here? It's like a stringy. Remember we saw it? It's like a bag. It's like a bag that's holding the kerev. This is called the kerev. This is the keva. This is the chelev shel kerev. That's also a fat. That's on the kerev. Okay, what else we have to see? The small intestines is over here. That's the dakin. Again, the chelev kaseta the kerev. You see, it's like the sack over here. Here's a better picture of the chelev kaseta the kerev. Beta kosot. Okay, we saw that. What else do you have to see? These are the basic chelevs we're going to discuss here. This is the chelev that's on the kerev. This is the chelev of chaser. Okay. I'm just showing you all the different angles of it. Here's a better one. See, there's the chelev chaser, the kerev. It's a bigger picture.
Oh,
you just see the chelev itself. Okay. We're going to see all these cases now. So. What else says over here? The keva keva. Amar Yitzchak ben Nachmani Amar Yoshua chelev she'al gabe keva. Okay, that's the fat that's on the keva. Let's find the keva. Where are you, keva? Keva. Keva. There's a stomach. and the chelib that's on the keva. There's a fat here that's on the keva. You see the fat that's on the keva? I see keva. Here's the keva. And there's a fat that's next to the keva. What's the status? Kosher, not kosher. The Gemara says, Rabbi Hoshaya said, Chelev shal gabe hakeva, Kohanim nehagu bo heter. The Kohanim eat it. That type of chelev, we have a tradition, is kosher. Enjoy it. Kerebi Yishmael. That's like Rabbi Yishmael, Shamar Mishum Abotav, that said the name of his fathers. Vesi Manach, in order that you can remember, Yishmael Kahana Messiah Kahane. Rabbi Yishmael was a Kohen. So he would help the Kohanim. He was a Kohen. So he would say halachot that were beneficial for the Kohanim. So he would say, listen, it's kosher, we eat it, we eat it. What do you mean? It could be a chalev. Oh, it's okay. That's how you remember. Now, the Gemara says, Mahi. Now, where do you see another place that the Bishmael would give lenient rulings for Kohanim? Because you're making it like, the way you remember it is, that's the Bishmael that always stuck up for the Kohanim. So where else do you see it? So the Gemara is going to bring a proof from Birkat Kohanim. Mahi says, Tanya, Ko tebarechu et b'nei Yisrael. The Kohanim have to bless the people. Rabbi Yishmael omer, Lamadnu berachah liyislim apir Kohanim. It says, Ko tebarechu b'nei Yisrael. It means the Kohanim bless the people. The Kohanim atzmam no lamadnu. But how do you know the Kohanim get blessed? Kishu omer, Va'ani abarechem. What is Va'ani abarechem? I'll bless them. Rabbi omer, Kohanim mebarechim liyisrael, V'kadosh baruch hu mebarech lekohanim. You don't have to worry. God says, "Vani abarechem." I'm going to bless the Kohanim. They're going to be taken care of. Now, Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, lamadnu beracha liyisrael mepi Kohanim, mepi agibura, which means he says, "No." Rabbi Akiva says, "The blessing of the Kohanim that are given to Bnei Yisrael is from God, because it says Vani abarechem, meaning the blessing of God goes to the Kohanim." So, how does Rabbi Akiva know then that the Kohanim got blessed? Lo lamadnu. Okay, mepi agibura lo lamadnu. I know the Kohanim give a blessing. I don't know yet that the blessing of the Kohanim comes from God. How do I know that? Vani Abarechim. Vani Abarechim teaches me, Ave Omer, Kohanim Mevarechim Yisrael, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yadam. That the Kohanim bless the people, and God agrees with the Kohanim, and blesses. But we don't know yet from Rabbi Akiva that the Kohanim get a blessing. So Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Berachah, the Kohanim Minale. How do we know the Kohanim get a blessing themselves? Amar Nachman Ben Yitzhak, Mevarecha, Mevarechecha. But Abraham Abinu, God told Abraham, those that bless the Jewish people will get blessed. Now, Rabbi Akiva learns from an external pasuk. Anybody that blesses the Jewish people gets blessed. Rabbi Ishmael learned the blessing of the Kohanim from the pasukim itself. So Gemara says, Umay Misaya Kahane. Why do you say from there that Rabbi Ishmael is giving a benefit and helping out the Kohanim? He says, De Mukila de Berkat Kohanim Bimkom Beracha de Israel. Because where the Rabbi Akiva learns the Vani Abarechem is going on the Jewish people. And the Bishma says, no, the Vani Abarechem is going on us. Therefore, he learns from the word Vani, he takes it away from the Israel and gives it to the Kohanim. Because he was a Kohen, so he helps the Kohanim. So when you read that Vani Abarechem, don't read it. Oh, that God blesses the Israel through the Kohanim. No, Rabbi Akiva, the Bishma says, that means God blessing us. So therefore, you see, the Rabbi Ishmael was defending the Inyan of the Kohanim. Oh, so the Gemara says now. So first of all, we see the Bishmael was lenient. The Gemara the Kohanim. Now the Gemara says, you told me that the Bishmael had a shita from his father, from his fathers, that the Kohanim would eat the meat that was on the keva, not the meat, the fat. So Gemara says, where do you see that? Bishmael shamar mishum abotav mayhi detanya et kol ha'chelev Asher ala kerev. Okay, the pasuk in Vayikra. It says that this pasuk is talking about over here all the fats that are on the kerev. The kerev is the insides, the innards of the animal. So the Gemara says, it says ve'et. It doesn't say it. The pasuk is ve'et. Yeah, look at the pasuk ve'et. והקריב מזבח השלמים אישה להשם את החלב המכסה את הכלב the חלב that covers the כלב ואת כל החלב. What is the vav of ואת כל החלב אשר על הכלב coming to include? So you bring, okay, there's two fats that you bring on the Mizbeah. You bring the fat that's covering the Kerev and the fat that's covering, it says, HaKerev Chaseh Kerev Bet Kol HaKerev Asher Ala Kerev. One that's covering it, we'll have to see what the difference is. One that's covering the innards and one that's on it. It seems that one is like a bag that's covering it, and the one that's in it. One that's like fat that's in between the meat itself. Both of those fats go on the Mizbeah. So what does it say, the Vav? The Vav comes and says, Lehavi Halib Shal Gabad Dakin. That even the fats that are on the Dakin, that's like the, what do you call those, the intestines? Let's see where that is. His Halib Kaseta Kerev, no problem. Halib Sha'ala Kerev, that's the regular fat that's on the Kerev itself. This is the bag-like item. And this is the fat-like item itself. And where is the, what do we need now to know? The Dakin. Where is the Dakin? Here's the Dakin. Dakin is the intestines. Here's Dakin. And this is the, there's a fat next to the Dakin. You see that in the picture here? The previous specimen with the Helkas of the Kerev rolled up to expose the Dakin behind it. Here's the Dakin. So there's a fat around here. You see the fat? Here's the small intestine again. Small intestine. Okay, there's a fat over there as well. So it's coming to say, Ve'et. It's not only the Kerev, the one that's surrounding the Kerev, not only the one that's on the Kerev, but also the head of the Dakin goes on the Mizbeah. Devrei Rabbi Ishmael. Oh, that Rabbi Ishmael did not include the Chelev that's on the Keba. But sit down the Chelev. Chelev on the Keba, where's the Keba? Here's the Keba, that's like the abdomen. So this head of over here. Fat of the lesser curvature. That's the head that's on the keba. That meat, he says, is okay. That fat is okay. So the stuff that goes on the Mizbeah is the two fats that the Torah said, and the Mishmah includes another one from Ve'et. But the head that's on the keba, he says that the Kohanim are able to eat. Also, you see, that is Matir, head of the keba. That's what the Mishmah, the Be'akiva says, Le'avi Chelev Sh'al Gabeh Keba. That the Ve'et is coming to include the Chelev that's on the Keba, that has to go on the Mizbeah. So what do you see over here? Rabbi Ishmael, that was a Kohen, he helps the Kohanim, because they're getting to eat this this fat over here. Your brothers, what are you talking about? Oh, by the way, you have the picture, the art scroll. You see this window they opened up for you over here? That's the that's the Chelev Chaseta Kerev. Okay, that's the fat that we're talking about. This is the Keva. Chelev Sha'ala Kerev. Chelev Chaseta Kerev. Oh, here's this, the spot that we're looking for. Chelek Mena Chelev Chaseta Kerev Husar Kerevot Et Adakin. So it seems there was a fat on top of this over here, of the Dakin, that they removed so you could see the Dakin. So that fat that's on the Dakin is the Ve. So therefore, according to right, that's a Sur according to the Be Yishmael, but the Chelev that's on the Keva is okay. Basically, the Be Yishmael was being lenient to the Kohanim to eat certain fats that the other rabbis were not being lenient on. Comes the Gemara and continues. It says, "Urmini, we have a contradiction. Ve'et kol ha'chelev asher ala kerev." So it says ve'et. So it comes and includes not only the chelev that's on the kerev, but the chelev that's also not only the chelev that's surrounding the kerev, that's like the bag, but also the chelev that's on the kerev. So you have two halavim of it. Again, the pasuk says ve'et kol ha'asher ala kerev. That's the fat that's inside, and then besides that, it's coming to include the fat that's around it. The Bishimon Omer ma chelev ha'mechaseh et the kerev, just like the chelev that covers the kerev. Kerum v'niklaf. It's a very like a thin membrane, the membrane over it, and the membrane you're able to peel off, because it's really not, the membrane is a very narrow membrane that covers the chalev. Af kol, so too, every chalev, only the ones that go on the mizbeah has to have the same properties. Krum has to have a little membrane over it, v'niklaf, and you're able to peel the krum off. Only those types of chalevs are going to be asur, according to the B, Shimon, Od Pam. It says in the Pasuk, ve'et kol ha'chalev asher ala kenef. Okay, that's what the chalev that's on the kenef goes on the mizbeah. So it says the vav, ve'et, it's coming to say something that's not in the Pasuk. That besides the chalev that's mechaseh, which is written beferush, also the chalev that's on the kerev, so I guess two things are written in the Pasuk. The chalev amchaseh, that's the bag, and then the chalev that's on the kerev, that's the actual chalev that's in between the pieces themselves, the meat. So besides those two that are written beferush, it's coming to include a third type of chalev that has to be the similar properties of the one that the Pasuk is mentioning. What's the Pasukim mentioning? A type of chalev that has a membrane over it, and the membrane is thin, we're able to peel it. So Gemara says, and what's that, by the way? He doesn't tell us. We'll see. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Ma chalev amchaseh ta kerev. Totav, just like the chalev that covers the kerev, is totav. It's like a baguette. It covers the whole kerev like a garment. It's all one piece. It's all attached. And it's not little pieces. It's just one bag, all connected. Krum, and it has a krum on top of it. Vinniklav, and it also, so it'll be like one of those three properties. It's got to be all attached. Krum and niklav. Af kol, totav, krum, vinniklav. So either you're looking, you're comparing it two properties or three properties. Now, all these three properties will include the chalev that's on the dakin. Number one, the chalev that's on the dakin is all one piece. Number two, it's covered by a krum, and the krum is able to be peeled off. However, the chalev that's on the kebah, the chalev that's on the kebah is, it's not one piece, it's just little pieces that are in between the kebah. So the Rabbi Akiva is going to, the Rabbi Shimon is going to say the chalev on the kebah is okay, because it doesn't, which means, I'm sorry, reverse, according to the Rabbi Shimon, as long as it has the two properties, as long as it has a little krum, what do we call it, the krum, a membrane over it, and it's easy to be peeled off, it's because of the mizbeah. That includes the halal of the kebah. You just told me to be Shimon that the halal of the kebah you wanted to say is okay to eat for the kohanim. Now you're telling me the opposite. Now you're telling me that according to the B Shimon, that it's, that it's not good. Now, where did we see the Bishamon above? The Bishamon we saw, right, we saw above, they changed the Bishmael. Has to be the Bishmael. Yes. Bishmael, has to be the Bishmael. Good. So, Smaug the Bishmael and the Bi'akiva. The Bishmael, you just told me that the Chalev on the Kerev is good. We said, he's a Kohen, his father was a Kohanim, they defended the Kohanim, they said the Chalev that's on the Kerev, they eat it. Now we see clearly, the Rabbi Ishmael is the one that's saying, Adraba, that's the chalev that goes on the Mizbeah. And the Rabbi Akiva, the one that was Mahmir in the last Mishnah over here, is being Mekel. So we're reversing the Shitot. So the Gemara says, Shalach Ravin Mishemed Rabbi Yohanan. So they got the answer. From Rabbi Yohanan, Kach hi atza'a shel Mishnah. This last one is the right text. Be'ipuch kamaita. Reverse the last one. That means really the Rabbi Ishmael is the Mahmir. So now we changed the whole sugya. Till now we said Rabbi Ishmael, he defends the Kohanim. So Rabbi Yohanan said, by the way, this last text that you have with Rabbi Ishmael saying it's asur is the right text. So the Gemara says, who told you? My azita pikamaita, ipuk patraita. You could have switched either one. Why did you switch the first one and keep the second one? So the Gemara says, shariyaka keva de ketani ma dafka. Because here is more explicit. Here, they're giving you a reason. What's the reason why it's asur? Because we're comparing it to the fats that are written in the pasuk. Just like the fats that are written in the pasuk have a krum over it, and the krum can be peeled off. So too, all. Once you're explaining it like that, so it must be this is the more authentic one, because it's giving you a
Perush.
So it comes out of Bishmer really is the Ma'amir.
So the Gemara asks, Lihachi, can it be Ishmael, can it be Akibahi?
When the Gemara said, the fat that's on the Kerev, Kohanim eat it like Rabbi Ishmael. It's wrong. It should say Kohanim eat it like Rabbi Akiva.
Amar Amar Yitzchak She'amar Meshum Abotav Vele Lo Svirale.
Meaning Rabbi Ishmael said it in the name of his fathers, even though he himself doesn't hold of it. So really Rabbi Ishmael's fathers were lenient on this item. But Rabbi Ishmael himself was Mahmir. So when we said above that we can eat, Kohanim can eat it, like Rabbi Ishmael, they didn't mean Rabbi Ishmael. They meant like Rabbi Ishmael's ancestors, his fathers. But Rabbi Ishmael himself was Mahmir, not to eat that chelev. So again, big machloket, does the chelev that's on the keva. That's basically how the leaf, doesn't matter if you know the picture or not, just the halakha. Chelev of the keva, are Kohanim allowed to eat it or not? So now we figure out which is the chelev that's no good, which is the chelev that's okay. Now we're going to discuss certain fats. When there's a hole in the animal, the fat covers up the hole and can save the animal from becoming a terefa. Amar Rav Chelev Tahor Sotem Tame Enu Sotem Rav Sheshat Tomer Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh Sotem. Which means, once we established whatever Chelev is Tahor, if it's Tahor, it can plug up a hole. But if it's Tameh, that we already forbade it, it can't plug up a hole. And then Nafshe Shad says, doesn't matter. Whether the halim is edible or not edible, it can always plug up the hole. Which is another subject over here. Ba'er vizera, halim haya, mai. Now, the Torah only was said the halim of a behemah. The halim of a haya, for example, of a deer, is okay. So the question is like this. Let's say the stomach of the deer got punctured, and the chelev that's covering it is sealing it. Now, that chelev by a behemah is no good. So do you say, since by a behemah that chelev is no good, by a deer it's also not going to serve as a plug? Or do you say, no, bottom line, by the deer it's okay, because chelev tahor, chelev tahor, it works. So the Gemara says, Davka amar chelev tahor sotem ve'hayname tahoru. Do you say, listen, you told me the rules. Ta'or is sotem and it's ta'or. O dilma mishum de mehadek. Dehai lo mehadek. Which means maybe you were just trying to tell me the reason. The reason why ta'or is okay, because that type of fat clings to the basar. So it serves as a good plug. Masha'enken on the deer, on the haya, the chelev ta'or is not tight. Therefore, it doesn't serve as a plug. Which is, it's just a hook. The hole plugs. Therefore, I don't care if it's from a deer or I don't care if it's from an animal. All you say, no, there's a reason why the hole plugs. Because the tahor nature is to be tight against the basar. So it serves as a good plug. But by the deer, it's not so. So even though it's tahor, it will not serve as a plug. What's one thing got to do with the other? True, you can eat it, but it doesn't stick tightly to the animal, therefore it doesn't plug. Therefore, it's nothing to do with the tahor. It's got to do with the nature of the chelev itself, and it's not mehadek, therefore it doesn't do it. Hahu nekev de satma chelev tameh. Okay, there was a story that the nekev was sealed up via chelev tameh. De'atal kemed rava. Amar rava, lemay nechushta. What do you want to worry over here? I give you two reasons to say it's mutar. Hada, the Amar Rav Sheshat Chelev Tameh Nameh Sotem. Number one, if you go like the second Rabbi Rav Sheshat, he says even Chelev Tameh can plug it up. So there's no problem there. Oh, and if you want to tell me that what? That we're not going to take Rav Sheshat. That we're going to be Mahmir. Over here, there's a big loss over here. HaTorah Hasa Amar Rav Sheshat Yisrael. So in this case, we can tell the guy, go take this animal to throw it away. It's a big loss. So even if generally speaking you don't take the lenient opinion, but when it comes to Mamonam Shel Yisrael, it's not so simple just to say, throw it out. Amar le Rav Papa le Rava. Rav Isura de Oraita. So what are you talking about? What do I care about money? Rav saying it's a Suma Torah. that the hole is a hole, and the Hanif Tameh doesn't seal it up, and you're telling, well, for loss of money, we can be legal. He said, right, what do I care about loss of money? Meaning, if it's a Drabanan case, you can say, okay, take the lenient opinions, I make the Drabanan money, and that. But the Oraita, since when does money come into the picture? Okay, story. Menyume Kanduka. Who was Menyumin Kanduka? Menyumi, the one that sold pottery. Iglele Basteka de Dupsha. Okay. He had a pot that was filled with honey that was uncovered. He left it overnight. That's a problem. Leave it overnight. So you're worried about the poison. Could you eat it? Atale came to Rabbi. I came in front of Rabbi. He wants to eat the honey. What are you worried about? There's three liquids that we're worried if it's left overnight. Hayayin, v'amayin, v'halav. That's it. Wine, water, milk. Ush'al b'la mashkim, mutarim. Even if they stayed uncovered. V'od, and even if you want to tell me that you want to take the stringent opinions that include honey, ha'tura hasam b'avonam shi Yisrael, I'm not going to throw away the whole thing. It's safe said. Amar l'ir l'chma b'ri ha'itzhak l'rava. Rabbi Shimon, that's osed the honey. V'sakanat nefashot. V'at amat ha'tura hasam b'avonam shi Yisrael. Why is he osed the honey? Sakanat nefashot. Maybe the snake came and put the... And you're telling me, loss. What am I getting loss? Sefek Doraita of it. It's worse than a Doraita. It's the Sefek Nefashot. The Gemara says, what's Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon Ma'i, the Tanya, Hamisha, and Behem Mishum Gilui. There's five beverages that are not subject to the laws of Gilui. Tzir, what is Tzir? That's like the brine that comes out of the fish. Chometz, vinegar. Shemen, Dvash, Umurias. What's Murias? Fatty fish innards that are mixed with salt and things like that. Those cases, you don't have to worry because the snake is not going to get involved with that. Rabbi Shimon Omer Afhen Yesh B'Mishum Gilui. Rabbi Shimon doesn't even know the items that we mentioned. Even the honey has Gilui. V'Amar Rabbi Shimon Arira Iti Nahash Sheshatat Tzir B'Sidon. As I saw my own eyes, the snake ate from the seed, from the brine, in Sidon. So you see, it does eat it. Amru, no. Shatyahava. You saw a snake. The snake was a shote. You saw a retarded snake. But that snake, you're going to bring a raya from that snake over there. You don't bring a raya from a mental snake. The snake was a crazy snake. You bring me a raya from a snake today. One snake ate it. Means all snakes eat it. No raya. So again, what concludes? Amale odilemiha betzir. Which means this. You don't want to agree with me. You want to be mahmir, let's say, by the honey. Okay. But at least agree to me when it comes to the fish brine that we're not taking Nabi Shimon. Meaning, you want to be mahmir like Nabi Shimon when it comes to the honey. That's why we say, the Turaz, Mekel, Mutar. So, hold it. Nabi Shimon says it's Asur. And you're being lenient because of a loss of money? So, okay. So you want to be mahmir by honey, but don't be mahmir by the fish brine. Why? The Arab, Papa, Rabu Rab, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbanah. When they would bring them beverages that were left uncovered, for example, water and wine and stuff like that, sharu le betzir. What would they do? They would pour the liquid that was under question in brine, because the brine burns, neutralizes the poison. So therefore, you see, for sure, tzir doesn't get affected by this poison over here. And therefore, which means, if the tzir can dilute it, certainly if it falls directly into the tzir, you're not going to have a problem. Even though it's sekanat nefashot. You see, the rabbis were lenient. So therefore, for sure, we're not taking the bishimon by tzir. Oh, so once you don't take him by tzir, so therefore, you don't take him by honey either, which means... You see that we don't take it to Rabbi Shimon. Listen, by tzir, your whole claim was, hey, Rabbi Shimon, hold it. We take everything Rabbi Shimon said. Rabbi Shimon said tzir, for example. And you're not taking this halakha by tzir. Because obviously the rabbis used to use the brine to neutralize the poison. So just like we don't take it by tzir, don't take it by the dvash. Amar le, odulimiha bedvash. He told me the other way. Admit to me at least that dvash is a problem. Rabbi Shimon bin al-Azar, kaikibateh. That not only... It was said by Rabbi Shimon,
But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar also said the same thing. Why? Detanya vechere Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar osim bedvash. So therefore, the honey was a controversy. So one rabbi says you don't take the honey. One rabbi says adrabah. There's few rabbis that agree with the honey. Anyway, that was the subject over there. Let's just finish on this point. Look at where do we see this concept that the Torah is worried about the money of people. All the rabbis agree when they brought him the case. He looked and he said, first of all, we can be lenient. And you know what? There's a monetary loss over here. And we see the Torah is worried about the loss of money of the people. Where do you see an example in the Torah that the Torah is lenient because it doesn't want the people to lose money? So look at the Rashi. Famous Rashi, HaTorah Hasa. So, HaTorah Hasa. Oh, the Kohen comes into the house to look at the Tzara'at. Before he gives a ruling on the Tzara'at, he tells the guy, take out all your stuff from the house. Because once he gives the ruling, that ultimately becomes Tameh. Now, so you'll say, big deal, let it become Tameh. Let him bring it to the mikveh. You're right, but earthenware, the guy is China. You can't dip China in the mikveh. Once it becomes Tameh, the only way to fix it is you got to break it. So I'm not worried about the metal stuff. The metal stuff, big deal. So I got Tameh, bring it to the mikveh. But you're going to break some vessels. So if you see the Torah is worried about the money of the people. Amar b'meir. V'chimam et Tameh la'an shamra Torah l'amtich lo'i le'akoyen et ha'negev lo'i mar Tameh ad shukalim eftim. Ah. So that's why Beim Tamar Keli Arzio Begadam Matechen Matpilin. What's the problem? Let him go dip the things in the mikveh. V'etzurim Al Mahasat Torah. You see, the Torah is worried about earthenware. Earthenware is junk, and still the Torah is worried about the cheap earthenware pottery, 99-cent item. Still to take it out. Upacho Shemen Torah Ela Shemira VeKol Kach Hasra Mamam Shel Tzareayin. Now, by the way, who's this guy that we're talking about that Torah's worried about his money? The guy's a Tzareayin, the guy's obviously a Kamsan. Why did he get leprosy? The Gemara says the reason why he gets leprosy on his house is because his friend came to him the day before and asked him, can I borrow your blender? He said, I don't have a blender. All of a sudden the next day, the crazy said, take out your stuff, put it on the front lawn. The neighbor comes by and says, hey, I thought you didn't have a blender. So you're talking about a Tzara'ayin. And still the Torah says you got to be worried about his money. So Koshkin the Tzaddikim. Koshkin, God's worried about the money of the Tzaddikim. So that's where you see the example of the Torah.